So church family, I want to ask a quick question. We are family, right? It says living faith, right? We're family. Okay, so since we family, I should be able to ask family a question, right? If I asked y'all right now, if I said, let me see your phone. Can I see your phone? By a show of hands, who would pass me their phone? Raise your hand. All right. Praise God. That's most of y'all, not everybody. Okay, I get it. But out of all y'all folks that raise your hand and say, yeah, Rev, I'll let you see my phone. How many of y'all, when I get the phone, I'd have to ask you, like, hey, what's the code? Like, you know, like, how do I open it up? How do I use it? How many of y'all, by a show of hands, got some kind of passcode or password? That's just about all of y'all. Brother right here said, you better, okay? I understand. You know, it seems like we live in an age right now where everything seems to be guarded. We guard everything, right? We live in houses now. You know, we got these security and surveillance systems. You know, I can't go up to none of y'all houses without that little ring thing, you know, like ding, ding, you know, and you in there, you know, you see me and you trying to make up your mind if you want to even. I get it. But then we also guarded about our money. Come on now, talk to me. We hire financial consultants because we want them to grow and guard our money. Is that right? Yes. Speak to me. Tell me the truth. Yes. All right. Then we also guarded about our reputations. We guarded about our family. Think about it. If somebody says something bad about your kids or about your mama, oh, it's on and popping. Okay. Am I right about it? Yes. I mean, we up in the church, but if somebody talk about your mama, oh, y'all real holy now. Now, y'all know God already know the truth, right? All right. Okay. All right. So we seem to be guarded about a lot of stuff right now. But would it surprise you to know that God has something that he wants you to be guarded about above all else? Above all else. Above your kids. Above your mama. Above your money, above your house. Hey, sisters, I know y'all love them Coach bags and them Brahmin bags, but I'm here to tell you, God said he got something else he wants you to guard more than that. Brothers, your shoe game is on swole. I know some of the brothers over here, they got all them J's on their feet. Their Jordan game is tight, right? But there's something that God wants you to guard even more than your shoe game. So I want y'all to stay with me. I believe God has a word for us today. I'd ask that you stand to your feet as we read God's word. So our scripture reading today is a very popular discourse of scripture. It comes from the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom. Of course, who's speaking right now is King Solomon. We're going to read, this is going to be the NIV. We're going to read chapter 4, verses 23 through 27. Verses 23 through 27, chapter 4. When you have it, say amen. Amen. All right. Praise God. Okay. The word of God says as follows. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths of your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. Amen. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his most precious and holy word. You may take your seats. All right. We're going to focus for today on verse 23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Above all else. Did y'all catch that? above all else tells me that God says, when it comes to guarding your heart, he doesn't want it to be a thing that you do sometime. He doesn't want it to be a thing that you do half-heartedly, no pun intended. He says you have to give it the top priority. It has to be the most important thing that you do is to guard your heart. It has to be the most important thing because he said above all else, I don't care whatever else is the thing you chasing, whatever else is the thing you're trying to do. God says in his word, above all else, guard your heart. Now, I know some of y'all are thinking, because, you know, like, I know the sisters, they love, you know, all these romance and stuff like that. And, oh, your heart, oh, you know, my heart skipped a beat and all of this other kind of stuff. Oh, he has my heart, you know. But God is not talking about this thing that's ticking right here. Okay, that's the first thing. He's not talking about the ticker, okay? But the heart, as it pertains to the Bible, and the Bible talks about the heart in over 800 places in the Bible, it's mentioned about the heart. So it's a lot of times that God is talking about the heart. Okay, the heart that God is talking about right here is the real you. It's the center, your most innermost person. It's your heart. It's where your thoughts live. It's where your desires live. It's where everything that you think about, your emotions, your feelings, your desires, everything, the real you is in your heart. And God says it's so important to guard the thoughts, your thinking, your attitudes, your desires, your emotions. He said, above all else, you have to guard it. But why would God say something like that? Like, why do we have to do it above all else? I'm glad y'all asked that question. Seems like y'all are like really wanting to know. And I'm glad because I want to share it with you, okay? God says it's so important because think about this. If the devil can influence your thinking, what you think about something, if he can influence how you think about it, the next thing he's going to influence is your feelings. And then after he influences your feelings, then he's going to influence the way you look at things. And after he influences how you look at things, then he's going to influence what you go to do, the things you go to do. That thing you go to do, whatever it is. The Bible says in Proverbs, as a man thinks, so he is. Yeah. So how you think about something leads to what you're going to go do, how you're going to act on something, what you're going to do. So it's very important about how you think your heart. Your heart is very important to God. And so I want to share a couple of things with you real quick. It says, more than your money, guard your heart. More than your house, guard your heart. Your heart has to take top priority. But oftentimes, we don't want to examine our heart. Oftentimes, we want to let social media influence our thinking. Oftentimes, we want to let the local news influence our thinking and tell us what we're supposed to think about something. We have things going on. I know you know it in the world today. Many people have, you know, hey, their way that they feel about our president and different things of that nature. That's fine. But the reality is we're supposed to take everything and compare it in light of what God says and in light of what the Word of God says. If you have a feeling about somebody, you have to say, if he causes me to be angry, if it causes me to get upset, but I got to take it back to the Word of God and see if God says my feelings are right. Because what I found out is come on now. Your feelings can lead you wrong. Maybe I'm just preaching to myself. Have you ever found yourself thinking about something? Maybe based off of a look, and a look creates a thought in your mind. I'm really, maybe the men can relate with what I'm talking about. Brothers, have y'all ever seen anything? Don't look to your right or to your left. Have you ever seen anything and it caused a thought to go through your mind? And you're like, how did that get there? And if you ain't sharp, that thought from that look, you'll start to play with that thought. You'll start to play with that thought. You know, you'll catch yourself starting to say, I wonder what that would be. I wonder what that would be like. Yeah, I think I probably could do something. Yeah. You're right. Let's go back to the book of Genesis. Because everything has an origin. Let's go back to the book of Genesis. How did Satan get Adam and Eve to fall? He started off in chapter 3 and he said, but has God really said, surely said that you'll die? He caused Eve or mankind to question in their mind. It became a seed of doubt. He introduced a seed of doubt in her thinking. You're not gonna die, you know? God knows that in the day that you do that, this is gonna make you wise like God. But it started in here.
Yeah.
So Eve thought about it. And then, after thinking about it, she looked and something appealed to her. But it went from a thought to a look to an action. Are y'all picking up what I'm putting down? All right. Okay. I just want to make sure I'm talking to the right people. Okay. So let's look at this. If God says, above all else, we're to guard our hearts, then he goes on to help us out a little bit. This is King Solomon who's talking. Now, King Solomon, what do we know about him? Come on, Bible scholars. What do we know about King Solomon? There we go. He's attributed as being the wisest man that ever walked the earth. So if the wisest man that ever walked the earth is talking, it's probably like E.F. Hutton. You should probably what? Should probably listen, right? Okay. So he's talking here in chapter 4, and he's talking to his sons. I don't have time to go into it right now, but if you read chapter 4, start with verse 1, he's talking to his sons, right? And in it, he goes on to say, listen to me. I'm trying to spit knowledge to y'all. I'm trying to give you wisdom. This is going to be so important. If you listen to me, it's going to go well for you. Life is going to go well for you. If you listen to what I'm trying to tell you. Yeah. Parents, is that ringing a bell with y'all when y'all talking to y'all kids?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How many times y'all been talking to y'all kids and you've been trying to tell them, hey, I'm trying to tell you the right way to go. Listen to me. It's going to go good for you. But oftentimes, anyway, that's another story. But here it is. King Solomon is pleading with his sons. But then he goes on to say in around verse 4, he said, at one time, I was a kid. And, you know, my mom loved me, but my dad taught me. So King Solomon is going back now and saying, I heard these things from my father. Who was King Solomon's father? King David. Y'all remember King David, right?
Yes.
Come on now, don't get quiet now. Y'all know King David, right?
Yes.
All right, okay. So he's saying, my dad taught me, now I'm teaching you. Now, what do we know about King Solomon? We know that even though he had all of his wisdom, and he made a lot of great decisions, but the Bible is very clear that King Solomon, in his life, he made some bad decisions too, right?
Yes. Yes.
So even with all of the wisdom that he had, he still wind up, the Bible says that his wives, plural, led him astray and that his heart became divided. Hey, brothers, y'all don't have to answer it right now. Maybe this is an Iron Man's next topic or something. How many of y'all got more than one wife? Don't answer it right now. Okay, y'all got to ride home. Okay. All right. But then we have King David, right? King David is identified as being maybe the greatest king Israel ever had. King David did a lot of great things. The Bible declares that he was a man after God's own. All right, we walking together. He was a man after God's own heart. So, King David is a great guy. But even though King David was a great guy, King David made some bad mistakes. Y'all know about the mistakes, right? It says, one day, the King David, while his army was out at doing battle, and the king should have been out on the battlefield, all right? But King David was back chilling at the palace. It says King David, one day, he was on the top of the balcony, and he was, like, looking over the city, and somehow or another, he's able to look down in this one house. And this lady was, she was bathing, I guess, you know. I didn't know they had showers back then. But I guess, you know, hey, but she was taking a bath. King David saw something. I want you to think about this. He saw something. His eyes saw something. King David had a decision to make. He knew God. He's a righteous man. But King David made a decision. I think he stood there a little bit longer and said, man, looks like the water is pretty hot. You know? I don't know. And, but you know, so he still had a decision to make, right? He knew the right thing to do. He still had a decision to make. But he said, Man, she looked kind of fine. Like, man, who that be? The story goes on to say that King David sent one of his guys to tell him, who is she? Give me the intel on her. Guy runs it down and says, hey, that's the wife of Uriah the Hittite. You know, he's in your army. Matter of fact, he's out on the battlefield right now. Is he? Y'all know how the rest of the story goes. My point is this, that King David, a man after God's own heart, this is what the Bible says, but he failed. That's a word in here for all of us that profess Jesus as Lord. That if you can be saved, sanctified, full of the Holy Ghost, but this is a moment by moment thing with God. It's a moment-by-moment walk with God. What's the guy who sung that song? Lord, I need thee every hour, every second. I believe he was right about it. I need the Lord every second of the day. I'm just 1 second away from looking at the wrong thing, thinking about the wrong thing, speaking about the wrong thing, and acting on the wrong thing. And guess what? I don't believe I'm the only one. I believe if y'all were to be honest about it, I believe God telling you the same way. Amen? Who can help us? Somebody got to help us. Here's what the Bible says. I want to tell you what God says in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17. The Bible says that the heart is deceitfully wicked above all else. There's that word again, those words, above all else. The heart is deceitfully wicked. He says, who can know it? But then the Lord goes on to say, but the Lord looks at the mind and searches the heart. And the Lord repays every individual for their actions. That should send chills down your spine. Because the Lord says, man ain't able to look and tell what you're thinking about. Right here in church. You can have something cross your mind right here in church. We should spend a whole lot of time saying, Lord God, forgive me. Lord God, help me. Lord God, help me to take my thoughts captive. Lord God, help me, you know, this sinful body that I live in. Lord God, I want to do right. But the right that I want to do, the wrong is right there. It's like it's a tug of war going on. And the only way we can win this war is with the help of God. So point number one is this. I should have told you the message. The title of today's message is On Guard. The Lord reminded me of, I used to be back in the day, I used to love to watch those, like when they had those sword fights and everything. And you remember before they got ready to fight, they'd be like, you know, yeah. On guard, right? Yeah. On guard, man. You better guard yourself. You better be ready because I'm trying to go for the, I'm trying to shoot you right here. I'm trying to hit you right here and kill you. So on guard. God wants us to be on guard. So here's the deal. Point number one is this. Ask God to give you a clean heart. Because the reality is we all have a bad heart condition. Brother Roy Roscoe, I don't know where he's at. There he is. Praise God. Some of y'all know the story in here about Brother Roy Roscoe. He is a walking and talking miracle of God. He is living proof that God still performs miracles. Brother Roy Roscoe had a bad heart, but he had a heart transplant. And here he is sitting here worshiping, singing, dancing, jumping, shouting, praising God. Hallelujah. So God gave him a heart, a new heart. But the new heart that we all need, it's not a physical heart. Yes. Here's what I shared a little bit with you about King David when he committed adultery with Bathsheba. He took another man's wife. He tried to hide his crime, tried to cover it up, wasn't able to do it. He wound up having to have that man killed in order to cover up his mess up. But then, because he belongs to God, yeah. God wouldn't let him have any peace. He talked about how his bones ached. If you belong to God, I want to put a pin in it. If you belong to God and you're practicing sin, you're doing something that you know God told you you're not supposed to do, that his word tells you you're not supposed to do. He doesn't want his people doing that, living like that, and you're doing it. If you really belong to God, I want to take my glasses off. If you really belong to God, God is not going to let you have peace about that thing you're doing. And I'm not telling you what I heard. I'm telling you firsthand. I'm telling you firsthand. I was engaged in a sin and I was practicing it. So it wasn't like, oh, I slipped up. No, I was practicing this sin. I used to read my Bible at that time every day. But when I was engaged in this sinful act, I didn't want to pick my Bible up because I knew God was going to speak to me in his word. I knew God was going to convict me, not condemn me, but he was going to convict me in his word. And I was enjoying the pleasures of that sin that I was doing that I didn't want to stop. I would walk through the house and I had my Bible in a certain position, in a certain place, I would have to turn my head as I walked in the house. I would have to turn my head not to look at the Bible because it was like God was saying, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. And I'm here to tell you I didn't have any peace. God broke me to where I was down on my knees. And I was in tears and I was crying out to God saying, I don't want to live like this no more. I don't want to do this no more. And even that thing that I used to get pleasure from, I couldn't get pleasure from that thing no more because God, in the middle of that thing, would convict me. I'm going to let you use your imagination. It wasn't until I cried out to God and asked God to forgive me. I repented of that. I turned back to God and got back in right relationship with God. All of a sudden, the joy of being God's child, the joy that you get from knowing that you belong to God, the joy that you get. Brother said, hey, you know, don't give him 30 seconds because he's going to be talking to you about God. It returned because now all of a sudden I knew I was forgiven. I knew God said he washed me in the blood of my Savior, Jesus Christ. God said, I forgive you. Stop looking back and look forward and let's go. And that's what I did. And I'm here to tell you, that's a word for somebody today. If you're engaged in something that you know God doesn't want you engaged in, all you got to do is say, Lord God, I'm so sorry. I confess that what I've done is a sin against you. You paid for me at Calvary's cross. I'm no longer my own. I've been bought. I've been paid for. And I've been bought at a price that I couldn't pay. And I believe that's you too if you profess Jesus as Lord. Amen? Amen? All right. Praise God. So King David came to the point where he was in that same condition. And here's what the Bible says in Psalms 51, verse 10. It says, David prayed and asked the Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That's what God wants from his people. You need a new heart. I need a new heart. If we're walking around and we don't know Jesus Christ in the pardon of our sins, then you got that old heart. That old heart is one that's full of sin. That old heart, all it knows how to do is sin. You got to ask God, create in me a clean heart. The Bible says that God will do it. The Bible declares about the heart. It says in the gospel, it says, blessed are they that are pure in heart, for they shall see God. You got to have a pure heart, a clean heart, and it only comes from God. You can't do it. So stop reading self-help books. Stop listening to Oprah, Dr. Phil, whoever the latest person is that's out there. Hey, you know how we listen to all of these motivational speakers and stuff like that? It got to come from the word of God. It got to come from the word of truth. It got to come from God's word. Did God's word say that God will give me a clean heart? He didn't say that Dr. Phil will give me a... I don't want that. I want what God is saying. God says, I'll give you a clean heart. And that's what we need. So number one, you have to have a clean heart. Number two, says this way. Fill your heart with the word of God. It says, to guard our hearts effectively, we must be intentional about what we allow to influence us. This involves being mindful of the media we consume, the company we keep, and the habits we develop. Guarding the heart also encompasses turning to God daily for guidance through prayer, scripture reading, and reflection. Then we can allow God to shape our hearts, ensuring that everything we do flows from a place of righteousness. Paul said when he wrote Philippians 4:8, he says, and finally, brethren, think about whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. God says this thing is so serious. I want you thinking about these types of things. When we watch TV, I'm not on social media, so I can't, but I got folks in my house that's on social media. Hey, these are my girls right here. Anyway, when we watch TV, I'm talking about Mike Boykin. It's to the point now where God convicts me about certain TV shows. Like, I'm just watching a regular show. Why is this person half naked on here? Why do they got to be like in everything? They got to be half naked. I love sports. Why do the volleyball players got to wear all of this? It's like you got to be practically naked to play volleyball. I can't watch that now, because, hey, my mind starts going in a certain place. I'm just being real about it. And God says, you got to turn it. You got a decision to make. Are you going to play with it? Because you're going to let the image get in your mind and you're going to start playing with it. Don't fool yourself, because what we often do is say, I can handle it. That's what we tell ourselves, right? I can watch this. I know some people, they can't watch this, but I can handle it. Most of the time, you're fooling yourself. Most of the time, you're fooling yourself. God, what did Joseph do when he was in Potiphar's house and Potiphar's wife? It says repeatedly, she was looking for Joseph. Every day she was looking for Joseph. Joseph trying to hide out in a different part of the house. Where, she asking some of the other servants, where's Joseph? He got to run somewhere else now. But she finally cornered him. She finally cornered him. She's like, oh, I got you now, Joseph. Oh, we're going to do this thing. And I believe Potiphar's wife, she probably was good looking because Potiphar had some money. Because most of these guys that got money seem to, anyway, she probably was good looking, right? She probably was good looking. But Joseph had a decision to make. Joseph said, how could I do such a thing to my God and to my master? That's real talk. He said, how? She's like, hey, let's sleep together. He said, how can I do such a thing to my God and to my master? But God came first. He recognized I would be not representing my God the way he wants me to represent him if I sleep with you. Joseph took out, he slapped it into B for boogie, and he ran up out of there. He ran up out of there. That's a word for us today. The Bible says that we are to flee. We are to flee temptation. We are to flee temptation. Don't play with it. Don't romanticize it. Don't glamorize it. We are to flee. Run for your life. Run for your life. Run for your life. Your life is at stake. Run for your life. Matter of fact, I believe Joseph, it just came to me. I believe Joseph, he recognized what would come long, you know, later on down the road, Bel Biv DeVoe. Y'all remember Bel Biv DeVoe? Don't trust a big. Anyway, it's poison. It's poison. It's poison. Joseph was probably saying that when he was running. Anyway, all right. Okay. Romans 8:6 says it this way. The mind that stays on the flesh is death, but the mind that stays on the spirit is life and peace. We must focus on God and his goodness. Psalms 119:11 says it this way. For thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. We have to feed on the word of God. With a clean heart, that means I belong to God. I'm part of God's family. He's given me a new heart. But now that he's given me a new heart, God says, we are in a relationship. And God says, unlike the world is cool with a part-time lover. God is not cool with a part-time lover. God says, it's an all or nothing proposition. God says, either you all in or you all out. Because Jesus didn't hang on the cross halfway. He did it all. He paid it all. And so he wants all of us. So what I'm trying to tell y'all is this. God wants us talking with him every day. God wants us reading and saturating our hearts and our minds with the word of God every day. In the book of Romans, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. God says, I got to change your mind. Now, you remember what I told you guys about the definition of the heart? It talked about the mind, the things you think, how you think about things, your thoughts, your attitudes, your emotions. So God says, I want to change how you've been thinking about things, and I want to give you a new way of thinking about things. I want you to see things the way I see things. Yeah. Let the mind that's in Christ Jesus be also in you. That's what God wants from his people. So you got to fill your heart with the word of God. Point number three, I'm going to get you guys up out of here. We have to guard with what's trying to influence our hearts. I talked about it a little bit when I touched on social media a little bit. But it can be TV. It seems like everybody's got something to say. Everybody's got a podcast now. Everybody's got a podcast. You don't have to know what you're talking about. You know, all you got to do is say, put a mic in front of me. Is this thing on? Hey, and you can just start talking. And the sad part is there are more followers, you know, than there are leaders. You know that, right? It's more people that are like, when I look at the show about all the cows that are outside, right, you know, in the pasture, it's usually they can all be sitting down, but it's one cow that'll get up and start moving on. And then the next thing you know, all the other cows are following that cow. Well, it's kind of the same way. You get one person that starts talking, most people they're going to start following that person or whatever. They don't want to do their homework. They don't want to be like, what this person talking about, is this real? Is this legit? Oh, it sounds good. Must be true. Man, it seemed kind of like catchy, but don't have to be true. Point number three. Once trying to influence us, you have to ask yourself, is this feeding my spirit or is it draining it? How about relationships that we're in? Do you ask yourself sometimes, is this relationship that I have with this person, not husbands and wives, let's get that straight. If that's draining, God can do something about that. The answer ain't leaving, okay? But if you are in these different like relationships with people, so-called friends, but if all it does is drain you, if all it does is pull you away from God, if all it does is cause your attitude to become one of angry, resentment, unforgiveness, if all it does is causes depression and pain and anxiety, you got to ask yourself, what is God trying to tell me here? What is God trying to tell me here? I need to cut this off. I need to love them from a distance. I need to love them from a distance. Because, you know, the last time I checked, the fruit of the Spirit was love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, not anger, bitterness, envy, strife, jealousy. We got Christians running around that they major in being upset. The only time you halfway see them flash a smile is in church, and usually that's when the service is over, right? But you don't ever see them, you know, you don't see no joy in them, you don't see no peace, you don't see no, like, where's the love? But then you got the nerve to have that bumper sticker on your car with the fish, and you're just like, what? What's going on here? We have to examine, hey, the influences in our life. We have to examine, if you're on social media, people, old people, middle-aged people, young people. If you're on social media and it's consuming so much of your time, it's consuming so much of your time, it has you, you don't have it. That's the first thing. It has you, you don't have it. Automatically, that's a problem because the Bible says God is a jealous God. I know we like to think that when we read about stuff like about, hey, worshiping false gods and idolatry, we think that's in the Old Testament. We're in the New Testament. I'm a New Age saint. We don't worship idols. That social media can be an idol. Yes, sir. Your phone can be an idol. Yes, anything you put before God becomes an idol. So you have to examine yourself. And if the Holy Spirit lives in you, he's talking to you and he's telling you, put this thing down. Turn away from this page. If all you're doing is constantly the news, the news, the news, the news, and it has you being blown back and forth like the wind. One day, hey, they say the oil prices is going down, gas is going down. Ah, hallelujah, I feel good. Next thing you know, they say the ceasefire is over. They back at it. And hey, they say they're going to close the strip again. You know, hey, what? Gas prices going back up. Oh, my gosh. Hey, that's not how God wants his people. God wants his people centered in his will. God wants his people looking to him, not to man. God says, look up where your hope comes from. Your help comes from the Lord. We got to look up. If you constantly looking at the news, how you focusing on God? The news got you. That's not what God wants from his people. All right. I'm doing on time. We got to get ready to push this thing. All right. One more thing. And I'm going to be done. Verses 24 through 27. Now, he's went from the heart about above all else, guard your heart. Then he says, keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly above. Give careful thought to the paths of your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. So he's painting a picture here. He's saying it goes from your heart, which is your mind, your thoughts, your emotions, your attitudes, and everything like that. He says, guard it. Because if left unguarded, then the next thing you know, you're going to start talking about something. Because whatever you're thinking about, next thing you know, you're going to start talking about that thing. And once you start talking about it, pretty soon, you're going to start looking for ways to make it happen, Captain. Right? It's the look. But then after you look, it's still, if left unchecked, your feet going to be quick to start going to do that thing. He paints the picture. It can happen slowly or it can happen in an instant. And it doesn't necessarily, we see in scripture, it can be a look and then a look turns to the thought. But all the look was revealing based off the thought is that evil was still in your heart. The truth of the matter is this. It's in all of us. I just want to make that plain. You can be a young person in here. You can be 7, 8, whatever, 9 years old. It's in you. You can be 25, 30. It's in you. You can be 45, 50. It's in you. 70, 80, 90. If you breathing, it's in you. And so what God says is you can't deal with it on your own. Only God, by his power, can create a clean heart and can keep you standing. The Bible says a just man falls 7 times, but the Lord is able to pick him up and keep him standing. We have to be calling on God all the time, looking to God all the time, the author and finisher of our faith. We have to say, Lord God, I can't do it on my own. I tried to be good and it lasts every bit of 5 minutes. I tried to look, hey, I didn't go into Walmart looking for this. Hey, brothers, be careful when y'all go to Walmart, okay? I think it's a free sale on spandex. I don't know. But anyway, hey, everywhere you go, you're just like, what is going on here? Because the enemy of God and the people of God, he understands. He's been on his job a long time. The enemy understands the eye gate. Oh, the eye gate can cause some things to start thinking that thought is in here. All he's doing is triggering what's already was deep down in there. We have to look to God, call on God, trust in God. Say, Lord God, you said by your strength, you said, Lord God, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You said, God loves it when you tell him his word. You said, oh God, that you would fight my battles. You said, oh God, that you would make a way. You said, oh God, you got to be talking to God and saying, God, God, it's your word. If you don't do it, Lord God, I'm going to fail. But I got victory in Christ. 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 Victory over my thoughts. Victory over my bad heart. Victory over all the world and all of the things that the devil throws my way. I got victory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I'm victorious in Jesus. How about you today? Do you know what victory is? It's only in Jesus. It's only in Jesus. It's only in Jesus. But your heart and your mind has to be sold out. Your heart and your mind has to be sold out for Christ. Everything you do, I'm looking to Jesus. When he wake me up in the morning, first thing I want to do is say, thank you, Lord, for giving me another day. Then I want to go down on my knees and give God the honor, the glory, and the praise. Then I want to spend time in his word. I want to see what God is telling me today. Hallelujah. When I'm driving down the street, oh God, I'm talking with you because you're showing me things in your world, oh God. Oh God, you're saying it ain't always going to be this way. No matter how bad it looks, God says the best is yet to come for those who know Jesus Christ and the pardon of their sin. Hallelujah, praise God. So as I get ready to take my seat, if you want victory today, you got to be on guard. But the only way you can be on guard is you got to be first part of God's family. If you ain't part of God's family, you don't got no defenses. The enemy says, I got you. I got you. But when you know Jesus and the pardoning of your sins, When you say, Lord God, I'm placing my faith in you. What you did at Calvary's cross, Lord God, I believe you hung, bled, and died for me, oh God. It was for me, it's personal, oh God. So I put my faith in you, oh God. You are the author of my faith, oh God. You are the finisher of my faith, oh God. You my everything. So Lord God, fight my battles for me, oh God. I surrender to your will, Lord God. I want to do it your way, oh God. By your power, Lord God, keep me standing, oh God. And I'll forever give your name the honor, the glory, and the praise. It's in Jesus' name. And the people of God said, amen.
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 Amen. On guard. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Bottom line of what Reverend Mike said is trust God. Through all of what we do, no matter how deep in sin we find ourselves in, we can trust God. If we reach out, he will reach back and grab us. But you have to do the asking. Is there one here who doesn't know the Lord in the pardoning of their sin and then lifting them up out of the gutter? Is there one who needs the Lord to do that this morning? The fact is, we've all been there. Everybody who's sitting in a chair has one time or another been there. And they've raised the question, Lord, not can you, but will you? Will you save me? Is there one this morning? We don't ask you to come up and give a whole testimony. Just raise your hand or get up and go into room number one. Someone will meet you there and take your statement. This is no time to play. For we're talking about salvation. We're talking about forever right now. And whether you believe it or not, you need a Savior. Because all of us try to do it by ourselves. But we fail short. But Jesus will never fail. All you got to do is trust him. Put your life in his hands. Will there be one?